For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in for Bob Levicky. A mercy plea for Fields, a UVA statue under scrutiny, a boulevard for Arthur Ashe, and a Harrisonburg Police Foundation adventure race. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, June the 24th, 2019. WHSV reports that in a sentencing memo submitted Friday, lawyers for James Alex Fields Jr. said that he should not spend life in prison because of his age, a traumatic childhood, and a history of mental illness. But prosecutors countered that the avowed anti-Semite has shown no remorse since he drove the car on August 12, 2017, into activist Heather Heyer, killing her and injuring the others protesting against the white nationalists. He is set to be sentenced on June 28. Under a plea deal, federal prosecutors agreed not to pursue the death penalty against Fields. The charges he pleaded guilty to call for life in prison under federal sentencing guidelines. In Friday's memo, Fields' attorneys highlighted his difficult upbringing, but with many of the details redacted from public viewing. Prosecutors focused on years of documented racist and anti-Semitic behavior by Fields. Prosecutors also said that while Fields has a history of mental illness issues, it doesn't excuse his behavior in a way that would require a lenient sentence. A petition is circulating asking UVA to remove a statue depicting an attack on a Native American family. The Daily Progress reports David Swanson is seeking signatures on a petition to remove the memorial to George Rogers Clark and has been in contact with UVA President Jim Ryan about the statue. Ryan forwarded the petition to the school's Segregation Commission, according to a spokesman. Clark, who was born in Albemarle County, was a general who fought Native American tribes as the U.S. expanded westward after the Revolutionary War. The statue calls him the, quote, conqueror of the Northwest. It sits at the intersection of West Main Street and Jefferson Park Avenue on UVA property. The sculpture depicts Clark on a horse as a Native American family cowers in fear, and one of Clark's men circles around the horse wielding a gun. That statue was donated to UVA in the 1920s. Swanson highlighted that the university would not run into the legal issues that plagued the city when it tried to remove monuments to Confederate leaders. Those statues fall in murky waters because state code prohibits the removal of war memorials from several specified wars. Hundreds had the chance to train like an officer in the 2019 Harrisonburg Police Foundation Adventure Race on Saturday. The Daily News Record reports that the event at Harper Presgrave Training Grounds consisted of a 5K obstacle course run, a SWAT team obstacle course, and a remembrance walk honoring fallen officers. The police department also held an open house for the community after the race to show different tools law enforcement use on a daily basis. Harrisonburg Police Department K-9 and robotics demonstrations were on display, as well as a SWAT simulation demo. Rob Barnard with the Harrisonburg Police Foundation said a whole day to bond with the community is worthwhile for every officer. Funds from the event will go toward more projects for the Harrisonburg Police Foundation. Richmond native and groundbreaking black tennis player Arthur Ashe now has a major thoroughfare named for him. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that thousands of people attended Saturday's renaming ceremony. The event drew several elected officials, including Congressman John Lewis of Georgia and U.S. Senator Tim Kaine, a former mayor of Richmond. Ashe, who died in 1993, was the first black player selected to the U.S. Davis Cup team and the only black man to ever win the singles title at the U.S. Open, Wimbledon, and the Australian Open. After two failed attempts, Ashe's nephew, David Harris Jr., helped spearhead the successful effort to rename the busy street, previously known simply as Boulevard. The Richmond City Council voted earlier this year to approve the name change over the objection of some city residents. They had said there were better ways to honor Ashe than legally changing the name of the street. A small town on the Eastern Shore is wondering how to deal with a plaque that memorializes both World War I soldiers and segregation. This has been one of the most read stories over the past week at the Virginia Public Access Project's VA Newslink. More now from Fred Eccles.
The history of race relations is an issue that often involves difficult questions. Virginia may be more aware of that than any other state. Recently, in the town of Cape Charles, a discussion of race has become part of a remembrance of World War I, as we hear from David Poole with the Virginia Public Access Project.
This story is by Stephanie Jackson, a reporter with the Eastern Shore Post. The library there in this little town opened in 1919, 1 year after World War I ended. And it memorializes the 20 men from the town who died in the conflict. The plaque lists 7 names, and then there's a header that says colored, and then there's 13 names beneath that. So there's some question now of kind of what to do with this plaque, and could the library board even do anything with it if they wanted to? Is this plaque considered a, quote, war memorial, end quote? This is the similar thing that's faced communities that want to take down Civil War monuments. Does this plaque qualify as a war memorial?
David, if it does qualify as a war memorial, it of course cannot be moved or altered without permission from the General Assembly. That's one question, and one that will have a clear answer at some point. The other question, though, may be a bit more controversial.
Right. The question is, what does this mean? How do people 100 years later interpret this? Should we be horrified that the names are segregated by race in the same way at the time the soldiers were segregated by race? Or should we celebrate the fact that town leaders, who were all white at the time, took it upon themselves to remember those 13 African Americans who died? What's the proper interpretation of this today in a modern world?
Members of the library board are divided over whether the plaque should be moved. They'll have to wait for word from Richmond before they know whether it can be moved. David Poole is with the Virginia Public Access Project. I'm Fred Eccles.
And finally today, how safe are our elections? As the 2020 presidential cycle gets underway, Virginia lawmakers in Washington have proposals that they say would make elections more secure. From Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope reports.
What should a presidential campaign do if foreign nationals offer information or services? The current law is kind of murky, which is why Democratic Senator Mark Warner wants to require campaigns to report foreign influence to the FBI and the Federal Elections Commission.
I would have thought in common sense that would have happened in 2016. It didn't happen. Let's just make sure on a going forward basis, if we see evidence of foreign intervention, you got to tell law enforcement, you got to tell the FBI.
He's not alone in Washington. Among lawmakers who want to strengthen election security, Richmond area Democratic Congressman Donald McEachin has a bill that would create new penalties for people who mislead voters about the time and place of an election, or people who target ethnic groups by making empty threats about criminal penalties for illegal voting.
One of the things that you always hear every election cycle is that the other side is doing something sneaky, telling people the wrong election date, giving out false information about where to vote and things like that. So we wanted to make sure that we made a statement that that's illegal, that's unethical, and it shouldn't happen.
Both bills face Republican opposition. McEachin had an identical bill last year that went nowhere when Republicans controlled the House, and Warner's bill is currently being blocked by freshman Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. She calls the bill a blatant political stunt. I'm Michael Pope.
And for WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.